Welcome to Compass with Heladi Mishelia, finding direction for your life.
Greetings of grace and peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord for the opportunity and the honor to bring the word of God to you, wherever you are at this moment. We thank God for his faithfulness toward us, and we thank God for the things that he is doing in our lives, especially in this new year. It's a year of mega things, and God is going to bring that to come to pass in your life. Even if you are listening to this message halfway through any year at all that you are listening to, receive it as a prophetic word. I want you to know that God organizes your life. The psalmist wrote, he said, my times are in his hands. So I want you to receive this word today, just as it is. I am teaching on the 40 days of impact. I'm talking about living a life, you know, of purpose. And I had made a commitment to take 40 lessons, and we are on lesson number 20 today. We're using the purpose-driven life as a manual. You know, for these teachings, we're not following everything in it exactly. We are teaching as we share what is written in it. We are also following the Spirit of God to minister to us whatever he may need us to say within that teaching at that time. I believe it has been and will continue to be a blessing. So we're looking at lesson 20, restoring broken fellowship. So the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18, God has restored our relationship with him through Christ and has given us this ministry of restoring relationship. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. The Bible says the entrance of your word gives light. Grant unto us light as we look into this perfect law of liberty. We are being transformed. We are being changed into the image of God. Thank you because of that. We return praise and glory to you today in Jesus' name. Relationships are always worth restoring. Relationships are always worth restoring. We live in a broken world. We live in a system that is broken. And from the beginning, you will notice in the book of Genesis that when Adam and Eve took a wrong decision and outrightly disobeyed God, you will notice that they ran away from God. Their response, you know, was to run away. But the response of God to what happened was to seek them out. God sought for them. God looked for them and to bring them back into a relationship with him. So the desire of God from day one has been to restore relationships when they are broken. And relationships are worth being restored. It's one of the greatest joys of my life as a pastor. You know, when I see brethren who have been estranged, who have had challenges, come back together, you know, and walk in love, it's such a joy. When I see families that are broken, come back together, it's such a joy. Relationships are worth being restored. Because life is all about learning how to love. God wants us to value relationships and make the effort to maintain them instead of discarding them whenever there is a rift, a hurt, or a conflict. In fact, the Bible tells us that God has given us the ministry of restoring relationships. So it's very important that you understand this. Paul taught that our ability to get along with others is a mark of spiritual maturity. I believe it's one of the greatest marks of spiritual maturity. Since Christ wants his family to be known for our love for each other, broken fellowship is a disgraceful testimony to unbelievers. It shows, it doesn't put the believer in a right light. This is why Paul was so embarrassed that the members of the church in Corinth were splitting into warring factions and even taking each other to court. He was shocked that no one in the church was mature enough to resolve the conflict peaceably. In the same letter, he said, I will put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. If you want God's blessings on your life and you want to be known as a child of God, you must learn to be a peacemaker. Jesus said, God blesses those who work for peace, but they will be called the children of God. Notice Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peace lovers, because everyone loves peace. Neither did he say, blessed are the peaceable, who are never disturbed by anything. Jesus said, blessed are those who work for peace, those who actively seek to resolve conflict. Peacemakers are rare, because peacemaking is hard work, real hard work. It can drain you emotionally. You can deal with people who are reluctant to make peace, you know, and so on and so forth. Because you were formed to be a part of God's family, and the second purpose of your life on earth is to learn how to love and relate to others. Peacemaking is one of the most important skills you can develop. Unfortunately, most of us were never taught how to resolve conflict. Peacemaking is not avoiding conflict. Please take note, it is not. Running from a problem, pretending it doesn't exist, or being afraid to talk about it is actually cowardice. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was never afraid of conflict. On occasion, he provoked it for the good of everyone. Sometimes we need to avoid conflict. Sometimes we need to create it. And sometimes we need to resolve it. That's why we must pray for the Holy Spirit's continual guidance. Peacemaking is also not appeasement. Always giving in, acting like a doormat, and allowing others to always run over you is not what Jesus had in mind. He refused to back down on many issues, standing his ground in face of opposition. So, if we are going to make sure that we are peacemakers, we restore relationships, what are the things that we need to do? We want to look at some biblical steps to restore in fellowship. Number one, talk to God before talking to the person. You know, that is, go to God about it. Discuss the problem with God. If you will pray about the conflict first instead of gossiping to a friend, you will often discover that either God changes your heart or he changes the person without your help. You just discover that things just resolve themselves. All your relationships will go smoother if you will just pray more about them. As David did with his Psalms, use prayers to ventilate vertically. Tell God your frustrations. Cry out to him. He's never surprised or upset by your anger, hurt, insecurity, or any other emotion. So tell him exactly how you feel. Most conflict is rooted in unmet needs. Some of these needs can only be met by God. When you expect anyone, a friend, spouse, boss, or family member to meet a need that only God can fulfill, you are setting yourself up for disappointment and bitterness. No one can meet all of your needs except God. This is very, very important. So instead of looking to God, we look to others to make us happy and then get angry when they fail us. God says, why don't you come to me first? So you have to understand this. Go to God with what is on your mind. Go to God with what is the issue. Most of the time we're looking up to people, you know, to do certain things for us or to, you know, and then they don't meet up. Sometimes people don't know. Sometimes people may know, but they do not have the skill or they're ignorant of how to do it. And our expectation becomes our challenge. Go to God in prayer. And you discover that that person may change. You may change. Circumstances may change. God in his power knows exactly what to do in every situation. Number two thing to do in resolving broken relationship, always take the initiative. Be the one to make the first move. It doesn't matter whether you are the offender or the offended. God expects you to make the first move. Don't wait for the other party. Go to them first. Restoring broken fellowship is so important. Jesus commanded that it takes priority over group worship. It even takes priority over group worship. So he says, if you enter into your place of worship and about to make an offering and you remember, you know, suddenly remember you have a grudge, your friend has a grudge against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to your friend and make things right. Then after you come back and make your offering. You know, if we follow the Bible, we'll discover that we're less religious. If this is what God expects of you, there are many people who should not be in church on Sunday morning because you have something to resolve somewhere. When fellowship is strained or broken, plan a peace conference immediately. Don't procrastinate or make excuses or promise I will get around to, you know, you'll get around to do it. No. Schedule a face-to-face meeting as soon as possible. Delay only deepens resentment and makes matters worse. In conflict, time heals nothing. It causes hurts, you know, it causes hurts to fester in the lives of people. Acting quickly also reduces the spiritual damage to you. The Bible says sin, including unresolved conflict, blocks our fellowship with God and keeps our prayers from being answered. So you've got to move, and you've got to move fast. You know, so the success of a peace conference often depends on choosing the right time and place to meet. Don't meet when either of you are tired or rushed or will be interrupted. The best time is when you both are at your best. Sympathize with that, point number three. Sympathize with the feelings of others. Use your ears more than your mouth. Before attempting to solve any disagreement, you must first listen to people's feelings. Listen to how people are, you know, people feel about something. Somebody said something one time and I've never forgotten that. He said people will forget what you say to them and people will forget what you do to them, but people will never forget how you make them feel. When you put down people, when people feel, you know, when you come to say you want to discuss or resolve an issue with someone, and but in reality, maybe you just want to have your way, maybe you just have a need, you want the person to meet. When people take note of that, people are not going to ever sit with you for anything. So it's very important. Don't try to talk to people out of how they feel at first. Just listen and let them unload emotionally without being defensive. You know, show them that you understand what they are saying and you agree. Feelings are not always true or logical. In fact, resentment makes us act and think in foolish ways. You know, so just listen to people. Listen to how they feel. You know, patience comes from wisdom, and wisdom comes from hearing the perspective of others. Listening. You know, valuing what they are saying. Number four, confess your own part of the conflict. Since we all have blind spots, you may need to ask a third party to help you evaluate your own actions before meeting with people with whom you have a conflict. You know, and when you meet with them, tell them how, you know, recently I've had to, something like that had happened, and I had an issue with someone, and then I asked this particular wise young person that was around me. I just asked her, what do you think I should do? And then the person said, sir, you know, sometimes there's a way you speak, and what the way you speak, this person may just read the wrong meaning. I think you need to start from, how did you talk to the person? And the moment this person said this thing to me, I had to, you know, just step back, ask my, remember, how did I talk? And this person really got the context within which I talk. You know, and I now had to go to that person and apologize, and, you know, and that was actually what the problem was. It was the way I responded to a situation that was the problem, you know. Number five, attack the problem, not the person. You cannot fix the problem if you are consumed with fixing the blame. You must choose between blaming people or fixing a problem. Most of the time we want to blame people. We don't want to take any responsibility. We just want to heap things on other people and tell them that they are default. It is them, that something is wrong with them. And at the end of the day, as you are attacking that person also becomes defensive, and we leave the problem unresolved and we attack ourselves. Stop. Don't attack the person. Attack the problem. Cooperate as much as possible. Peace always has a price tag. Sometimes it costs our pride. It often costs our self-centeredness. For the sake of fellowship, do your best to compromise, adjust to others, and show preference to what they need. You know, listen to other people. And finally, emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. It is unrealistic to expect everyone to agree about everything. Reconciliation focuses on the relationship, while resolution focuses on the problem. When we focus on reconciliation, the problem loses significance and often becomes irrelevant. We can reestablish a relationship even when we are unable to resolve our differences. I used to say that we can agree to disagree. Okay, you believe it this way, I believe it this way, no problem. You can go ahead, I will stand where I am, but we will not have issues between us. When you have to force people to agree with your point of view, and sometimes it creates problems. Christians often have legitimate, honest disagreements and differing opinions, but we can disagree without being disagreeable. The same diamond looks different from different angles. God expects unity, not uniformity, and we can walk arm in arm without seeing eye to eye on every issue. Yeah. This doesn't mean you give up on finding a solution. You may need to continue discussing and even debating, but you do it in a spirit of harmony. So God wants us to restore broken relationships. That's the desire of God. Today, is there a relationship in your life that is broken? I want you to make an effort. Listen to this message once again. Take the 7 steps that have been listed here. Try it out. I'm very sure that you would find a way to resolve whatever problem it is that is happening in your life right now. Sometimes these challenges are taking your peace, they're taking your joy, they're making you to lose focus. You got to do something about it. Well, it's been great sharing the word of God with you. We're out of time for today. Please do call our number and make an order of the books. We have the books ready to give to you. Well, that's the Purpose Driven Life book. It will help you in your personal study, and it will help you as you follow in this group teaching.
I am sure you have been blessed by today's episode of Compass. Let's continue the interaction on our social media platforms at Hella E. Michelia on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, keep moving in the direction of your destiny.